been, we hit a major sugya over here, a life-altering inyan to be working on, and that is the inyan, first and foremost, we said we want to have a kesher with Hashem, we want to appreciate what Hashem does for us. Then we concluded that a person can appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for him, if people who are right in front of him, he misses what people are doing for him. All around, people are doing things for you and me. And that's the sugya of hakaras hatoiv, of being makir toiv to people, understanding what they do. And we discovered something fascinating, which is a person says, I want to work on hakaras hatoiv. And we say, buddy, first you have to be aware in general. You have to be aware. Hakaras hatoiv, before you can recognize the good people do, you must be aware of everything and anything that's going on in your life. You can't be one of these clueless guys where everyone's going, what are you saying, man? What are you saying? He doesn't know what he's saying. That's why everyone says, what are you saying? What are you? He doesn't know where he is, what he's doing. He's totally clueless. I used to think that people that I knew, some of them were bad. I used to think that. I'm embarrassed to say, but sometimes when I would come and meet guys in yeshiva, you know, I'm more scared, you know, like they say, the animals are more scared of you than them. Like, I'm also more scared of Buckram than they are of me. Please don't hurt me. That's what happens when I meet new people. It's very, very hard for me. But sometimes you get a first impression, like, this is a bad guy. He's bad. He is B-A-D, bad. And that's not good for my profession, and I should get fired for saying that. But I can't get help saying it. I come home, I'm like, I don't know. This guy, I don't see what we can do with him. I've concluded that that's wrong. There are no bad guys that I've met. I'm sure there are bad people in the world, but I have not met a bad guy, certainly part of the Ummah, B'nai Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. I have not met a bad guy. I've met people who are totally clueless, and over the time in yeshiva, hopefully they get it, and they become sterling. Sterling midas. Gems of people. The only thing that was stopping them was they were just clueless. They said all the wrong things at the wrong time, not because they were bad, but they just missed it. Whoosh! Flew right over their heads. So many of the things we do are because we're missing it. You know, sometimes for security reasons, we have to look at the cameras in the halls. And it's a tough job. It goes in very, very fast. So you could watch a lot in a short amount of time. And I can't say that I found Arabs with knives, Baruch Hashem, but I found a new sport. When you watch this thing, you find sports, and you can learn how this sport is played. It's called the garbage NBA. And it's not like regular basketball. You know, like, you try to get it in the basket in basketball? Here, you try, but you don't go for the rebound. You try, and then you look at what you did, and then you, like, fade away from it. And everybody does this. This is exactly how you play the garbage NBA. That's how you're part of the garbage NBA. It's unbelievable. One after another. Bad people? Absolutely not. Gems. But what's happening? They don't see that people are going to have to pass by that banana peel and use tissue. And maybe they'll have a worse day because of that. Or worse, there'll be a Gentile janitor who will have to pick up your banana peel. I don't believe that any person in this room would, in front of any person who has a Tzelem Elokim, drop a banana peel on the floor and say, fetch, to anybody. I don't believe anyone in the room would be capable of doing that. What's the problem? When you're playing garbage basketball, you're not thinking about what happens a second later. You're a genius, Rabbi Stark. There's going to be a guy who's going to come into the wall. Amazing. And then what happens is, he changes. Not because he was bad. He was totally clueless. And I'm going to give you a quote from your future Rebbetzins, or whoever's married now will laugh in Haskama. One of the most common quoted lines when you come into the house: did you notice anything? Don't say no, okay? Whatever you do, do not say no. Run out of the house, but don't say no. Think. Maybe the house is a little bit cleaner. Maybe the dishes were done. Something that you didn't, that you had to do was done for you. Noticing things, Rabosai. You know how many times I'm saving you from aggravation? If you are a noticer, you will never hear, did you notice that? I noticed before, right again, Rachel, look what you did to the sofa. You dusted it off. You noticed? Yes, I noticed. And look at the toys. They're all organized in alphabetical order. Amazing. You noticed? I noticed. Rabotai, you'll skip all the Shalom Bayis classes with noticing. And I'm positive about this, and this is now what I live by. No one is bad. Everyone is clueless. Everyone is totally mufka. So you end up laughing instead of crying when these people say and do all of these different things. So now we're going to get into Hakaras HaTov, being Makir Tov to people. We are now aware, and now we're going to be aware of good things. And this is an incredibly complex sugya, which required me to be Meshamish G'dayli Yisrael to even begin to understand it, because some of the parts of the sugya of Hakaras HaTov are counterintuitive, not things that you would understand. Let's start with the Gemara that we had last week. The Gemara says on Daf Nun Ches and Brachas, there are two types of guests that come to a house. There's an Oireach Tov and an Oireach Ra, a good guest and a bad guest. The good guest, what does he say? Kol ma shetarach lo tarach ela bishvili. All of the different things. Kama basar hevi, he brought extra flesh for me from the store. Kama yayin, he brought an extra lechayim. Kama gluskos, he brought extra mezainis from the bakery. All of this was done for me as a guest. What does the oireach ra say? Ma toireach tarach balabayis. What did he do already? Pasach azachalti, he had to buy lechem mishnah anyway. Other guests were there. Chasicha achas achalti, only ate one piece. Kosecha shesis, he only drank a little bit of wine. He were going to throw it out anyway. That's an oireach ra. Can I ask you a question? We raised this a little bit last week, but what's the real truth over here? You're a guy who is standing outside, wandering around aimlessly in Ramat Eshkol, and you see a group of bachrim who are going into a house, and you just secretly join them and pretend that you're one of the group, right? They didn't even know about you. And it works out. Baruch Hashem, they're okay with you being there, fine. They figure out maybe we just miscounted. They definitely didn't do anything extra for you. They didn't even know you were coming. They thought they were having five guests. They ended up with six. So they definitely didn't buy anything extra for you. I promise you. So what does this Gemara not apply? This Gemara depends on what happened. Give me a break. What happened? Did they or didn't they? And this is a tremendous mistake. The Gemara is not talking about what actually happened. The Gemara is talking about how you interpret things. There are two ways to interpret everything. People make the same mistake by Don Lakav's chus. There's a sugya to give people the benefit of the doubt. But I'm right! I know what he did wrong. So you're going to tell me to be Don Lakav's chus? Yeah, because it's not an issue of the reality that happened over here. That doesn't matter. It matters how you look at the world. When you look at somebody, do you want to look at him favorably? Or do you want the truth to be like this? Where are you leaning towards? An oireach tov, maybe it'll be difficult in that situation to figure it out, but it'll focus, wow, they're so flexible. They had me over now. Wow, maybe their kids are eating less at the table because of me. Maybe they were supposed to get two desserts and now they're only stuck with one. And mommy's saying they're going to get candy later and she's bribing them so that they don't complain and make a whole embarrassing scene in front of our new sixth guest. It's a choice of an attitude of you, of who you are. What you see is who you are. It's a reflection of yourself. And Rav Huttner told one of my Rebbeim that he measured the greatness of a Bachar based on his level of Hakaras HaTov. Not because people need a pat on their back, but it's a quality of a person. The person who notices good is a different quality person. He's on a different level. So it's clear that it's not based on just saying thank you. There's more over here. There's more. And furthermore, let me ask you a question. This is something that has to bother every thinking person, okay? Very nice. We're saying thank you. You know what we have to say thank you to? Objects. Objects. Thank you, Stender. Thank you, Safer. You lost your mind. Thank you, fan. Thank you, air condition. You say thank you to objects? Well, there was a man who was much greater than all of us, named Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had a chance to do the makas on the water, make the blood. Can't do it. Why? He was saved by water. Saved by water, can't do it. Aaron could do it. Aaron, you didn't get anything from water? Of course he did. His whole life is drinking water, and everyone drinks water. But Moshe Rabbeinu was saved by water? He can't hit that water. Somebody else has to do it. What is that? The water is not going to be insulted. I promise you, water doesn't get insulted. And nevertheless, we find there's a chiyuv hakaras hatov to a piece of lifeless matter. And it goes further. The Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Tzadi Beis says, Bira deshasis mina lo tishti bekala. You can't throw a stone or a clod of dirt into a well that you drank from. Why? Why? Says Rashi, because you drank from it, so you can't be mavazet. You can't disgrace. Hey, it's the well that you drank from. You can't do that. What kind of sugi is that? What is that? Saying thank you to someone makes them feel good inside. They deserve it. They did something for you. An object didn't do anything for you. The Goyin, in his Chidushei Agadus, in Tzadi Beis and Baba Kama, says if you find a good thing in a sefer, you're not allowed to say anything bad about the sefer. You're not allowed to be mal. This was a shocker to me. But then I thought about it. Amazing. You got something good from a sefer? Don't, you know, he has this incredible chiddush over there, but I want you to know the rest of it is poorly edited and a lot of narishkeits over there. And this is, no. Don't say, you got something from a sefer? Lo yalig al a sefer. You can't be malig on the sefer. You got something from it. You received it. The Rimigash! The Rimigash! The great Rimigash who preceded the Rambam. The Rambam got his Mesorah in Halacha from the Rimigash. The Rimigash would not paskin on a Beis HaMerchatz, on a spa, on a mikvah. Why? There was a shaila of closing it down. He said, I benefited from that. I can't close it down. He took himself out of the Bezdin because he would not close down a spa or a schwitz or a mikvah or whatever you're going to call it that he benefited from. Why? The mikvah's not going to start crying because, how can the Rimigash do this to me? There's obviously something more going on in Hakar Satoiv, and we're missing it, Rabbi Isai. This is so normal in Chazal, and this is so foreign to us. It's hard enough to thank people. Now look what we're piling on here. Thanking objects. So we have to understand, Hakar Satoiv is not about thanking people and making people feel good. It's not about thanking objects. It's about something else, which is, it's about you. Kach kibalti merabosai. It doesn't matter who you're thanking. It doesn't matter how good or bad they feel when you thank them. It matters how you see the world. And there's a natural tendency of all of us to want to be what we call the self-made man. Everyone wants to be a self-made man. A self-made man. Who doesn't want to be? You know, there's a chiyuv. The Gaon says to thank people who were forced to help you. You have to chiyuv hakar satov to force, for people you forced to help you. Who was forced to help you? Parents. That's what the Michtam Eliyahu brings from the altar of Kelm. Parents. You can say, mom and dad, they give me a lot, but come on. They're stuck with this job. What are they going to do? Throw me on the street? And yet, we find the chiyuv of kibud av v'eim comes from that incredible feeling of indebtedness to these people. But they were forced into it. I have a better experience. I would like to explain what life would be for me. I was born in a hospital, and I crawled out of the nursery of the hospital on my own. I crawled out. Then I found a little crevice where I put myself in shelter, and then I bought some formula somehow, and then I changed my diaper, and then I taught myself the Aleph Beis, and then suddenly I approached the Chumash, and then the Gemara. And then Yerushalmi, Toisefta, and here I am. That's a story for Mishpacha. That's a story. And all of us want that story. All of us want that story. We want to be self-made. And it's a Mefurish and Medrash. This Medrash is so astonishing that it's a Medrash. And it's a mitzvah to be Mefarsim, this Medrash. The Medrash says on the Pasuk in Mizmor L'Soida that we say every day, Hu asanu v'lo anachnu, literally translated, Hashem, you made us, velo, lamed vav, anachnu, and we are to Hashem. However, if you look in the original Megillah of Tehillim, you know, they have one at the Kaisel, you can take a look and see. It doesn't spell it lamed vav, hu asanu velo anachnu. It spells it, hu asanu, Hashem made us, velo anachnu, and lo, lamed aleph, and we didn't make ourselves. Shkayach. Can you imagine saying that in the morning? Hashem, you made us, and we didn't make ourselves. Says the Medrash, yes. What does that mean? Not like Paroi, as it says in Yecheskel, Chof Tes Gimel. Li Yeori, Vani Asisoni. The Nile is mine, and I made myself. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made man. As much as I can pull off that it's me who did all this, I feel great. And as much as I feel stuck and subservient and indebted to people, it really stinks for me. And this goes on by a person. This is his machshava. We didn't make ourselves. And if you understand that this is the nekuda, you'll understand that it has nothing to do with who you're thanking or what you're thanking. It's pashut to know that you're getting things. You're not a product of yourself. Your parents, it doesn't matter if your parents were the worst in the world, they weren't interested, whatever. Everything that they did for you, you didn't do for yourself. And if you forget that, then you're making yourself into some sort of avodah zarah. It doesn't matter why they did it. You didn't get to this point without all these billions of things that they did. Whether they did it with an attitude or they did it with a smile. If you don't recognize that, you think that you're a self-made man. You think that you just happened to come to the world, like the Goyim think, through an explosion. A total explosion. Amazing. Here I am. It was an explosion. That's the metzias of being makir toiv, is to know that you came from somewhere. This whole sugya of objects, of thanking objects. We think we have no connection with objects. We think that it's foreign to thank an object. We have a lot of relationships with objects for Bosai. We have a lot. We're always dealing with objects. I'll bring a few examples. First of all, we kiss a sitter. A sitter is an object. We kiss it. Why are you kissing that? It's not your, you know, your cute little sister. You kiss your sister. You're kissing an object. We kiss a sitter. Crown Royal. It comes in like Lahavdil, a talis bag. Why does it come in a talis bag? And when I saw it, I'm like, this deserves a talis bag, Lahavdil. Why does Crown Royal come in a talis bag? And everyone who sees it, that's a schnapps. What's pshat? Because people are obviously having emotional attachments with things, chafatzim. There's dinim, covered oichlin. You're not allowed to just stomp over bread in the street, right? Not because we're in like some sort of Torah Avenue where the bread's going to go, ouch, you hurt me, sorry, ooh, let me pick you up. No, we have a relationship with bread. When you see bread, what occurs to you is, this is what's been there for me every day, from those peanut butter and jelly sandwiches till the tuna fish and pickles, and then I went Weitzer to salami, and then I went to Heroes, and then I went to burgers. This has been with me. Bread, I love you. Pick them up. We have a relationship with these things. And sometimes we like to blame them. You know, a guy plays tennis, right? Whoosh, ace, 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 ace. Can't even use his racket. He gets off the court. He wants to, you know, they're supposed to shake hands at the end. That's the way it works. He doesn't. Staring at his racket. Friend said, what's the matter? He goes, strings aren't tight enough. I would have beat you. Come on. You're stuck with this. Still like, yeah, if I would have had that racket. Yeah, that's what we do. We blame things. We blame it. It was my racket. It was the wind. It was lunch today. I was stuck, Rebbe, in the bathroom the whole day. Come on. Lunch? That broccoli on the fettuccine, that did it to you? Yeah, Rebbe, it did it. I would kill it. We have relationships with these things. We have relationships with chafatzim, Rabbi Osai. So I found him a car. What if it was like Torah Avenue? What if it was like Torah Avenue and objects could talk? What would they say? Well, Baruch Hashem, it happened. Thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one time in history, Hashem set it up from the beginning of creation. There was a talking object in Balak. Bilam is riding his donkey. This is unbelievable. You couldn't get a better story over here. Bilam's whacking his donkey. There's a malach in the road. Poor donkey, right? Malach, whacking him. Vayomer Bilam Laton, he's allowed to be. You're making fun of me. You're making a joke out of me. You're killing my game. You're a chill killer. You're ruining everything. I want to go on this road and you're not moving. I'll kill you. You mule, you donkey, whatever you are. And then he comes back. I have a response. Woo! First time in history. And he says the following beautiful statement. Vatoimer ha'atoin. The atoin spoke. Hallo anoichi asoincha asherachavta alayim yodcha ha'yom hazeh. I've been your faithful one since the very beginning. Haskein hiskanti la'asos lecha ko, have I ever endangered you in one of these times, one of these trips that we've taken?
Woo!
He's got a point. Why is the Torah telling us this? The Torah set this up from the very beginning. Of course, there are a lot of aspects to this. But you know what it is over here? What are you doing? Look, you're taking your whole life and you're blaming it on a mule. You're blaming it on a donkey. You're whacking it and saying he's the problem. Look, here he speaks. He goes, let's think for a second. Haven't I been good to you all these years? Hasn't it always worked? Maybe the problem is with you. Maybe you're the problem. Maybe you're blind. I'm looking at a Malach of Hashem and you, Pashut, are clueless. You have no clue what's going on. There's a message behind every chefetz. It's telling a story. And there's a chiyuv to be sensitive to every area that you're being mekabel. Not to give it a shkoyach, but to understand that you're the product of something. You're not a self-made man. This nekuda of changing your reality, of changing that I am a mekabel, I owe. Who I owe, we'll get to. We'll talk. We owe a lot of people. And we owe Hashem. But first, I owe. I can't take this merchat, says the Rimi Gash. I can't take something that helped me all these years and just pretend that it didn't happen. Close it down. Not because the merchat is upset, but because it will mean that I forgot all the good that I got. If I can do that, it will desensitize me from what life is about. I can't do such a thing. I can't, says the Vilna Gaon, take a great sefer that helped me a lot and then all of a sudden start complaining about it because you know what? I'm going to forget that I got anything from it. Eventually, I really wrote that chiddush in that sefer. That sefer, you're only going to remember that it was poorly edited and you didn't like most of the things. And then you're going to forget that one thing that you read. You're going to quote it in your own name. Because it's all about me. So now we're going to go a little bit further. And we're going to understand what is this sugya called in its most harsh form. When a person is not makir tov, what's it called? There's a word. It's called a kafli tov. Kafli tov is not just someone who's not makir tov, it's active. What do the words kafli tov mean? These words pop up all over in Chazal. Kafli tov. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, it's a makar. Kfuye tova b'nei kfuye tova. Your kafli tovs, Chal Yisrael, the sons of kafli tov. Why? Because what did you do? You yourselves got mun. Mun. Mun's gevaltik. And what did you call mun? You called it lechem ha-kulukol. It's terrible. It's bad for your digestive system. They were nervous. They didn't go to the bathroom. It was really because it just absorbed itself into their bodies. But they were worried it was some sort of freak food. And what? Who are you, the sons of Knei Tov? You're the sons of the person who said, Adam Arishon. He says, Ha'isha asher nasati madi. That woman you gave me, Hashem. He nasali min ha'etz. She's the one who caused the chet of the Eitz Hadas. Says the Gemara, this is Kafui Tov. What do the words Kafui Tov mean? What do these words mean? They don't pop up anywhere in Shas except for one particular place other than here. Okay? Where is that? In sugyas of Kalim, in sugyas of Avelis, where there's a concept called being kofet a kli. Turning a kli, an object, you have a vessel, and you turn it upside down. You have a bed, and you're kofet the mita. You're kofui the mita. You put it upside down. You turn something over and you cover it. Sometimes you cover with it. Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, Hashem was kofa aleim har kegigis. He took the har, and like a bathtub, it hovered over them to cover them over. Kafa aleihem. Kafa is to close over, to hide. What are these people hiding? What are these hiding? You know what you're hiding? Behind everything that good that you get, there are ways to complain about it. And that's how you hide the good. You don't just say, I didn't get good. But if you start complaining, then wow, that's a real cover up. Because not only are you not saying thank you, but now with this complaint, no one would ever assume anything good is over here. Mun? Mun? Who needs mun? It's a freak food. Says Rashi, on the spot, you know why Hashem did this? Because Klal Yisrael had to use the bathroom, right? You know how far you have to travel to use the bathroom in the Midbar? You have to leave Machane Yisrael. That's quite a travel just to use the bathroom. Can you imagine having to leave the whole Machane? Hashem made it that we didn't have to go to the bathroom. And what did we do? We stuck it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face, Rachmana Litzlan. And we said, you didn't give us anything. You gave us something that's a freak. And other Marishan says, you didn't give me an Ezer Kenegdo. You gave me somebody that messed me over. That's a Kafli Toiv. He's not just not thankful, but he's filled with tainas. Filled with tainas, one after another. There's a scary letter. Scary letter. Am I glad that I did not get this letter from Rav Dessler? Woo! Am I glad that I didn't get this letter? Rav Dessler wrote al Talmud a letter. And the Talmud wrote back a response to the letter. And it seemed like a Masav Matan in Torah in learning. And this is what happened. This is not a happy story. I am glad I didn't get this letter, and it's even painful for me to read that anybody got this letter. Rav Dessler says to him, after sending him a 10-page letter, Rav Dessler sent him a 10-page letter, he says, Es asher chafatzti lo chicha, I want to give you mussar. Asher hayali tzar rav v'michtovcha apam, I got a lot of pain from what you wrote me, my dear Talmud. Rashis kol ine anochi chasavti lecham michtov aruch kazeh, I wrote you such a long letter. V'ati yadata eich lo nakol hayali adavar, it's so hard for me to write these days. I didn't find even one word of thank you. I'm not giving you mussar because I need your thank you. I'm worried you're a kafui tov. Didn't you understand what we learned in Shir? That when you're koifering what your friend does for you, eventually you'll deny the Rabbono Shalom. V'loyayin, and not only that, you said, I missed a point. You said that I missed a point? And then he says, and I looked over the letter over and over, and I saw that you were not relaxed when you wrote it, and that's probably a limud skus, but that's not enough. How could a person do that? A person, he didn't say anything mean, but you write on there, you missed a spot. You missed a spot? You missed a spot? Who in the world do you think I am? I'm here to serve you? I'm here to serve you? With all of these tainas, I'm here to serve you? Who are you? What am I doing for you? I'm your Eved Kanani. That's a kafli toiv. A kafli toiv is always finding why nobody did anything for them. And they're such chachamim with it. They have this problem, sometimes in yeshiva, this and that and this and that. Ad ein shir. And all they're doing is clearing their life from anybody who does anything and making themselves into a big avodah zara. Shkayach. This week I borrowed a car. It was a used Siyata Dishmaya. I did something interesting to it. Not going to get into that. I wasn't aware. Could have used the awareness moves. But I was out for a car this week, and my neighbor lent me their car. Now, this never happened to me. The husband was away, and it's a very old car. They have two cars. And I was watching this. I was going in this car. They said it rides like a go-kart. I thought they were joking. But kachave, my foot was getting stuck in between the brake and the gas and like all sorts of interesting. I turned on the air conditioner, Bli Guzma. It started going, and then I told my daughter I wanted to scare her. I'm like, watch this. You want the air conditioner? Turn it off. And I'm sitting in this car, and the amount of Yishuv Hadas that I got this week was incredible. Because when you are used to a car and you don't have it for 4 or 5 days, everything that you're usually doing. Just even to get back home for dinner and come back here for night seder, it's taxi, what? Had a car. And I felt, I'm telling you, I felt a beautiful thing, that I didn't want to see anything negative in the car. I didn't want to think it. I didn't want to think anything negative, because it was so clear to me that I was a servant to my neighbors. And I've never spoken to the Rebbetzin next door. She comes to our house for Shabbos Sudas, but we don't communicate. I called her on the phone, and she's probably like, who is this man? This is the guy who goes, sure, my wife's over there. I said, Rebbetzin, you don't know how you changed the quality of my life. You don't know what you've done for me. Without a car, I'm lost. and you don't want to see those things. You enjoy being indebted to people. This week was in her schus, and that's great. That's healthy. That's the way it should be. When a person's on a yeshiva trip, and the yeshiva puts expenses in, they should not want to find a problem. They shouldn't want to have an issue with what's going on. And then there are other ways of being kafui tov, Rabosa. You know how you do it? I used to think that if you say thank you at a siyum, that you're not being kafui tov. I found a brilliant way to be kafui tov while thanking people. You thank the wrong people. Right? Sometimes they're sitting in a siyum, and they say, Rabbi Stark, you changed my life. I'm like, oh, I love it. And then I was thinking about it, and I think, maybe I didn't change his life. Maybe somebody who knocked the living daylights out of that guy when he was about to do something really stupid or after changed his life. But that guy's not fuzzy and cute like Rabbi Stark. So he doesn't thank him. He thanks me, and I feel great. He's a kafui tov. He doesn't want to be indebted to that guy. I'd rather be indebted to this fuzzy wuzzy guy. Because he's cute. The mice I remember vividly, there was a Rav who laced into me, Rav Osa. You would have loved to watch this. Laced into me. And I enjoyed it. After many years, I had an opportunity that I had to speak to this Rav. He saw that I was scared. I was sending all these shluchim. I called him up, and I asked him my question. And I was able to say the most beautiful thing to him. I was able to say to him, thank you for giving me that clarity, and thank you for saving me from so many mistakes. It was painful. What he did to me took 6 months, maybe, or more, for me to get over. But then it was so great to realize that I should be thanking him. We don't understand what's happening by us. We don't understand what people are doing for us. We're making all sorts of dinyanis of what's happening. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to see what people do first. He wants to see that we are aware of what's happening. He wants us to get that we are a product of chesed. That is the most healthy attitude in life, to be somebody who's makabel. And there are ways of doing this. We're just going to finish with this one quick thing, because we have to get this in. This is way too important. It says in Parshas Kisavai, by the Bikurim, Va'amarta, you will say, Rashi says, Va'amarta, you will say, why do I thank Hashem for these Bikurim and everything that's happened in my life? So I'm not a kafui toiv. It shouldn't say on me I'm a kafui tov. Can I ask you a question? Kafui tov, the way we learned it, is the flip game. You complain. Here you're not complaining. You're just not saying thank you. It says, we will say thank you to Hashem, so we won't be kafui tov. You should say, Stark, you ruined the definition, because it doesn't work over here. It's not true. It's not true. So when you don't say thank you, you're also hiding it. You ever play, when you were a kid, the book, Where's Waldo? You know how you ruin the book, Where's Waldo? You circle the Waldo. No one's. Yeah. You circle him. Come on. Waldo is hidden, but he's there. It's just there are thousands of other things happening on the page, and that's why he's hidden. He's not hidden because somebody put a cup over him. He's hidden because there are thousands of things happening. And when a person in his life doesn't mock your toiv, he doesn't circle the toiv, it's lost in the sea of everything that's happening. Hashem, you helped me. Rebbe, you affected me. Your sister, your brother, the cleaning lady, anybody who affected your life, you highlight it. And Rav Yerucham says this is very hard for people. We don't like to highlight what people do. We'd rather cover it up in all the smoke. And we have to be rugged to this. One etza of how to thank people. When you go to someone's house on Shabbos, thank them on Sunday. Don't just leave the house and thank them. Thank them on Sunday. I'm telling you, it's a different thank you. And a lot of times, wives ask, did anybody comment about Shabbos? And they have to say, no. You know why? Because for a wife, this is a whole event. Thanking someone on a Sunday is totally different metzias. It's highlighting what happened. I didn't just thank you because it's midas, because it's basic derech eretz. I had something here. I got something over here. It was geshmak over here. Calling before Rosh Hashanah. Now, I want you to know, I feel like a little bit like Rav Dessler. I get a lot of messages before Rosh Hashanah. You know what occurs to me? Not, it's so nice that he calls. it's so nice to me that he's on the Madrega that he calls before Rosh Hashanah. I'm like, wow, he's somebody who thinks about other people that might have affected him before Rosh Hashanah. I'm so happy that he got there. Wow, he achieved it. Like Rav Huttner, I'm telling you, it's not the thank you, it's such an amazing achievement. He arrived. A feedback on a shir. Sometimes I go speak in places that I don't know. I'm in and out. I don't know what I did. I'm in there, out, never. The worst thing for me is to speak in front of you in Tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah. I get absolutely no feedback on Rosh Hashanah. And even though I know that sometimes I have something intelligent to say, unless I hear that somebody was affected by it, I assume maybe not. Because it has nothing to do with the content. It has to do with whether or not it reached another person. The idea of Hakaras HaTov is also telling somebody what you did. Do you want to know what you did with your life? You're not a nobody. You know how many people get chizuk from thank yous? They don't just feel good inside that you thank them. They go, I'm alive. I did something. I affected somebody. And somebody who's aware of this is a pure soul. Somebody who everywhere they are finds what other people are doing. This is the tachlis of the Bria. This is somebody who can have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Be'ezus Hashem will be Zeicha. We'll focus on Be'ezus Hashem next week, having a kesher, nafshi, being makir tov with the Rabbeinu Shem.